Well, good day to you and welcome to church. We're excited that you are here as always. And the title of our message today is How Tall Are You? How tall are you? We're in part four of a five-part series on the season of creation. And we began several weeks ago with the idea of planting. And we talked about how we're all part of God's creation. We have to bloom where we are planted. Then we took a trip to the mountains. We learned how God meets with us there, how we're to be like Mount Zion. We have studied creation from every possible angle, from the sky to the mountains to the planting. And today we look at it from the perspective of harvest. What are we supposed to be when we grow up? Hear now these words from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So friends, I am 5'11". There's absolutely nothing special about being 5'11". Believe me, my entire life, since adulthood, I've wished to be 6 feet tall. But I'm only 5'11". You know, when I was a kid and I dreamed of being taller when I was in maybe fourth grade or something like that, I remember we had a little song at church. Maybe you know it. It's, I'm only 4 feet 11, but I'm going to heaven, and it makes me feel 6 feet tall. I don't know if you ever heard that. But the fact is we're all growing, and as St. Paul said, we're trying to grow into the full stature of Christ. Now, in today's passage, the psalmist refers to us as trees, right? He said the righteous are like trees planted by the water. And before we go any further, I want to take just a minute and unpack the word righteous for a minute. What is a righteous person anyway? Well, we can take our cues from none other than Jesus himself when he describes righteousness in the Beatitudes, which were all the blessed are statements that were in the Sermon on the Mount. So a righteous person, my friends, a righteous person is firstly poor in spirit, recognizing their own spiritual poverty. And not just recognizing their own spiritual poverty, but owning it. A righteous person is someone who mourns. They mourn because they see their spiritual poverty, and they mourn because it exists. A righteous person is meek and gentle or under control. A righteous person is famished for righteousness. They're on a journey striving to become more Christ-like. One foot in front of the other every day, trying to become more like the person of Jesus Christ. A righteous person, according to Jesus, is merciful. They're a person who, when someone abuses them or hurts them or does wrong to them or fails to meet their expectations, that person shows mercy when they could show justice. A righteous person, according to Jesus, is someone who's devoted to developing a pure heart, and not just that way on the outside, but that way deep within. not being a person who just appears to have a pure heart, but someone who's genuinely seeking a pure heart deep within their very soul. A righteous person is a peacemaker. They're the kind of person who's always looking for an opportunity to bring reconciliation into relationships and into the world around them. Finally, according to Jesus, a righteous person is someone willing to endure suffering and mistreatment for the sake of Jesus. They're willing to put it all on the line. They're willing to take whatever comes at them, all for the sake of Jesus. That is a righteous person. So the psalmist says that a righteous person is like a tree. It's growing, it's healthy, it's vibrant. It's firmly planted by the water. It yields fruit. Its leaves do not wither, it says, and it's a tree that is prospering. So we know what a righteous person is. We know the definition, the encapsulation of what righteousness is according to Jesus. Now let's take a look at what the psalmist says that means for you and I, played out. First, a tree firmly planted by the water. Now there are two key components here. Number one is firmly planted, and number two is by the water. And both of those are inextricably tied to the success of that tree. Firmly planted and by the water. Now when I was in college, my dad got a new Cadillac. And my dad was quite proud of that Cadillac, and he shined it up and he was really excited about that car. And one sunny spring afternoon, he was driving his two-week-old Cadillac down the street, not a cloud in the sky, in a nice historic little town, and a tree, a 100-year-old tree, falls and smushes that Cadillac. The arborist who looked into the situation said what had happened is that this town had very old brick sidewalks, and they had been concerned about that. So what they've been doing is they've been cutting the roots of the trees back so they wouldn't grow out and affect the sidewalks. And they kept doing that, and they kept messing around with the roots of the tree until the tree couldn't stand up anymore, and the tree just decided to fall over. The tree is what anchors the tree, the roots are what anchors the tree solidly to the ground so that it can't be shaken or it can't be uprooted when the storms come. Firmly planted. The righteous person is firmly planted like a tree by the water. Having a steady source of water is important for the long-term survival of the tree. Now, the imagery here, though, is not just any water source. It's the source of a river, a life-giving river. We have friends recently we were visiting with, and the wife in this couple said to us, she said, my husband and I and our children, we're all going to be baptized soon. And we asked our minister over the other night to talk about that, and she said, I told the minister that I want to be baptized in a river. I said, really? Why is that? And she said, I don't want just any old water. I want living water when I get baptized. Living water, not stagnant water, but living water. Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it describes the water as unpolluted and crystal clear. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel offers a good description of this river of life. It begins at the temple and flows out toward the Dead Sea. And what happens is as it, the farther it goes, the wider it gets. And it begins to flow. And eventually it flows into what is dead, the Dead Sea, with fish and all sorts of living things, bringing life into a place that was stagnant and did not have any. We're reminded of the woman at the well. And she asked Jesus a very important question. She says, tell me more about this living water. tell me more about this living water. So a righteous person is indeed like a tree, firmly planted, with roots that run deep, that make it unshakable when the storms come. And by the water, by a source of living water that flows into it and gives life to it. Secondly, it's a tree that yields fruit. And we know this from a few weeks ago. Jesus said that a tree is known by its fruit. He also said that if the branches of a tree don't produce fruit, then they have to be cut down and thrown into the fire because they're not producing fruit. They're not living into their purpose. We remember the story when Jesus cursed the fig tree because the fig tree was not producing fruit. In every instance in the Bible where we go and we look at this concept of fruit, when Jesus is talking about bearing fruit or he's talking about the vineyard or whatever, in every instance, when you really zero in on the text, you're going to find a commonality in it, and you're going to find that the fruit is always intended for others. Many years ago, in this country, there was a gathering of the Salvation Army, that great faith movement, and a large convention hall was rented, and people came from all over to this annual meeting, and they were anxiously anticipating the arrival of William Booth, who began the Salvation Army in London so many years ago. And in that day, communication was not what it is now. And so William Booth, they kept waiting, and he didn't arrive. And eventually, a telegram came. And they received the telegram, and they took it up to the podium, and they opened it up, and there was just one word on the telegram. And the one word that this great man of faith who created this movement that spread across the world, the one word that he communicated to his people was this: others. Others. That's the only word that was on the telegram. And that's all he had to say. Because instantly, when the person read that telegram, everybody in the room knew what he meant. Others. In every instance, the fruit that is being born is for the benefit of others. Now, sometimes we're talking about literal fruit for hungry people, relief for the weary or people that have suffered some sort of devastation in their life. Sometimes that is the fruit. Still other times, the fruit is a word of hope and good news to somebody that needs to hear that word of hope or good news. Friends, there is no shortage of the types of fruitfulness that we can have. There's no shortage of that. But the point, and hear this point very clearly, the point is that fruitfulness is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable for the people of God. An apple tree is an apple tree. It's known because of its fruit. An orange tree is an orange tree because of its fruit. The people of God are the people of God because of their fruit. We are known as the people of God. You know what the word Christian means? Well, the word Christian was first used at a place called Antioch. You can find it way back in the book of Acts. The church had gathered at Antioch. It was beginning to form into an established institution. And they began calling those people that were meeting at Antioch Christians, not as a compliment, but as an epithet. The word Christian meant little Christ. And what they would say is, look at all those little Christs out there running around. They were bearing fruit. They imitated Christ. And that's where the word Christian came from. So the question for you and for me today is an old question, but a relevant question. Can others others see Jesus in you? Are you known by your fruit? Can people pick you out of a crowd and say, there, that's a child of God, that's a Christian? How do I know that person's a Christian? Because of their fruit. Because of the fruit that they bear. They get up every day and they take up their cross and they do their best to follow Jesus. And I can see that in you, and I can see that in you, and I can see that in you. And that's how I know you're bearing fruit. But bearing fruit, the bearing fruit part, hear me clearly, is not negotiable. A tree is known by its fruit. Moving on. A righteous person is like a tree that has leaves that do not wither. And what that means is this. Leaves that don't wither are a sign of the eternal. They're a constant presence throughout time. The Bible says that God has planted eternity into the hearts of men. God has planted eternity into the hearts of men. What that means is that every one of us from birth, from our earliest days, we have this sense in our very hearts that this isn't all there is. That this playground called earth that we live on and we get up every day and everything we go through, that this isn't all there is. There is something eternal. And the mark of a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is somebody who learns to live in the eternal right now. Recognizing that this life is merely a prelude for what is to come. And so we have to have eyes to see and ears to listen. We have to learn to filter everything through that lens of the eternal, to remember that we have leaves that don't wither. They don't die. Jesus uttered probably the most important and significant words that have ever been said in all of humanity when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die." Eternal life. Those are the most powerful words, in my opinion, that have ever been uttered on the face of this planet. Those are eternal words. Those are a reminder that the tree firmly planted by the water that bears fruit has leaves that will not wither and they will not die. And we praise God for that. You know, life has a way of making us think sometimes that we're less than we are. Of making us think that we're not who we are and whose we are. The last thing the psalmist says for us today is that the tree, the righteous person, is like a tree firmly planted by the water, bearing fruit with leaves that don't wither, and it's a tree that is prospering. If we're righteous in the sight of God, then we'll be people who seek to prosper. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't feel like I'm prospering very much, preacher. I feel like I'm just hanging on by my fingernails. Funny thing about trees. Human beings, animals, we all grow. We start out and we grow, and we get to a point in our lives of maturity, and we stop growing. Not so with a tree. Trees never stop growing. They grow taller and they grow stronger. And even if they get to a point where they can't grow any taller, you know what happens? They grow wider, firmer at the base. So we're like a tree firmly planted by the water with leaves that don't wither, remembering that we're eternal beings. And we prosper. We don't stop growing. We don't stop until that great day when Jesus calls us home and we hear those words echo across heaven that we so long to hear. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Life is like a race, Paul said. We're all running, but we just want to run with our eyes on the eternal, remembering that this isn't all there is. The answer, my friends, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have one, know that he's ready to meet you where you are today. He's ready to become your Savior and your Lord and your friend for all the days of your life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you are at a place tonight that you're not feeling it. You're not feeling like you should. You're feeling weary, you're feeling beat down, you're feeling grieved, you're feeling all these things. But God's bigger than all that, because you are like a tree firmly planted by the water with leaves that don't wither, roots deep in the ground. We know where our source of life comes from. We know where our source of strength comes from. And we know that there's power in being together. So stand now and let's sing and let's thank God for all that he has done for us and all that he's going to do.